Wisconsin ranks among the drunkest states in the nation. And when things like drunk driving and deaths caused by alcohol consumption are factored in, it's hard to deny that America's Dairyland is more like America's booze land. Yet the state is also notorious for its lax laws on alcohol-related offenses, like drunk driving. Wisconsin remains the only state where first-time OWI isn't a criminal offense. Some have attributed these lax laws to one of the state's most powerful lobbying groups, the Tavern League of Wisconsin. Writer Zach Brook digs into this group's work and its impact on Wisconsin's health and safety laws in an article in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. He joins me now to talk about it. Zach, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Good to be with you.
For people who aren't familiar with it, how would you describe the Tavern League?
Well, the Tavern League is a lobbying organization. They're no different than the thousands of lobbying organizations in the United States, probably hundreds in Wisconsin. It is their job to advance the interests of their members. And in this case, the members happen to be locally owned bars, of which there are many in Wisconsin. And the Tavern League stands apart in Wisconsin from many other lobbies because of its perceived power and, you know, cultural reputation.
That perceived power and cultural reputation is really at the heart of this story. And when we think about the Tavern League here in Wisconsin, of course, yes, we think about the local bars, of which there are very many in the state, but we also think about these legal fights. What are some of the most notable legal fights the Tavern League has waged here in Wisconsin?
Well, the idea for this story came about when last fall, the Tavern League went to court to overturn a COVID-related capacity order that essentially said restaurants, bars, things of that nature could only be limited to 25% capacity. They challenged it in court and they won. And the order was struck down and they received a lot of notoriety for that. But the thing is, they don't normally pursue their agenda through court avenues. They're normally lobbying legislators in Madison as they make the laws. And before this court fight, they were known primarily for, you know, their interest in the state's drunk driving laws and essentially anything else that has to deal with the regulation of alcohol.
When you really dig into the impact they've had on alcohol in a variety of ways here in Wisconsin, it's a little staggering. I was most struck by how they've impacted the criminalization of drunk driving here in Wisconsin, or in some ways, the lack of criminalization. Can you unpack that a bit?
Yeah, sure. It's pretty well known that Wisconsin is the only state in the United States where first offense, drunken driving, is not a crime. That means it doesn't rise to the level of a misdemeanor. It is still treated the same as a speeding ticket that you get on the highway. And that fact is attributed to the work of the Tavern League. Through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, if you look across the country, we've had these progressively more strict drunken driving laws. As everyone, you know, the science got better, the culture shifted. Things like the rise of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, etc. Wisconsin stayed where it was, and a lot of credit for that probably should go to the Tavern League. Now, they will tell you that they have never opposed a drunken driving bill that targets the problem, but that's because in their view, first offense drunken drivers with a blood alcohol content that's just above the legal limit of 0.08 are not the problem. In their view, the problem is drunken drivers who are, you know, on their fifth or sixth OWI, or they have an excessively high blood alcohol content.
Wisconsin, of course, has a real issue with drunk driving. And ultimately, something that your piece talks about is that the Tavern League has a lot of power over Wisconsin's health and safety laws. How do they exert that power?
I mean, typical measures that you would expect lobbying groups to take. I mean, we saw them assert their power against Governor Evers, you know, capacity order by going to court. But typically, they are in Madison and they are talking to legislatures, or they actually only have two registered lobbyists. I looked it up. And they, you know, visit all these legislatures and they essentially say what their position is anytime a new bill comes up. And, you know, they rally the troops if they don't like it. They have a bullhorn because members are all across the state in every district. And there are county level chapters of the Tavern League. So, you know, the top brass cannot be everywhere at once. But these chapters can organize, you know, the taverns, the members in their county.
It does seem like they have a level of sway over politicians that's unusual for lobbyists that really only have the two lobbyists.
Yeah, and if you look at the numbers, they do not spend the most on lobbying in the state. They're not even in the top 20, you know? For the period we looked at, they clocked in at number 46. Why they are so powerful, part of it seems like it's perception. When I talked to Frank Harris, who is the chief lobbyist for Mothers Against Drunk Driving, he's from Wisconsin, and he cut his teeth as an aide in the Wisconsin legislature like over a decade ago. And he says that it just seems because the drinking culture in Wisconsin is so accepted that it becomes really bipartisan. And he said really one of the last bastions of bipartisanship in the state is when the Tavern League has a get together, you know, a social in Madison, and you can see, you know, the Democratic leaders hang out with the Republican leaders, and, you know, everyone kind of checks politics at the door. So I think that's it, just the popularity of the alcohol culture. But then it becomes kind of a chicken and egg situation, because positions advanced by the Tavern League kind of protect and nurture that alcohol culture.
What are some of the most notable pieces of legislation that the Tavern League seems to have had a hand in stopping?
Notable? Well, I mean, as we say, there have been multiple attempts over the last 10 years to criminalize first offense DWIs, or first offense drunk driving. It's never happened. The Tavern League would deny they've blocked it, but I've seen emails, not for OWI, but I've seen emails from legislators like saying like, hey, you know, somebody approached us with an idea to do this, something about ignition interlocks, you know, for first offense below such and such a BAC. Would you support that? And, you know, they write back saying, no, we would not be in favor of that. So it never becomes an official bill that they officially lobby against. But everybody's kind of kicking the tires like, hey, you know, how would you feel if we went in this direction? So the drunken driving is really the top one. But what else have they done? I think I wrote in the last legislative session, I went in and looked at official bills that they officially opposed. And we saw stuff like an effort to consolidate the drunken driving laws for operating things that aren't cars, things like boats, things like ATVs, things like snowmobiles. Those all have their own set of drunk driving laws or drunk operation laws. And they wanted to roll it all into one comprehensive law for, you know, non-cars. And they opposed that. It was interesting. They opposed beer delivery and curbside alcohol pickup. That is something you saw a lot of places do when the pandemic hit. And when I was talking to the executive director, Pete Madeline, he said they might have been in favor if it came with like a sunset, if it was only allowed for a specific period of time. But the way it was written, it was an indefinite law, and they didn't like that. And looking at the other things they opposed, just real quick, it was a law that would require ignition interlocks on work vehicles operated by convicted drunk drivers. So say you need to, you drive for work and you have a DUI and you get an occupational driver's license, which is something that can happen in the state. But, you know, they say, I need to drive for work, and they give you a license where you can just drive for work. The law would say, well, your work vehicle needs to have ignition interlock on it. Well, they opposed that law, and that law failed. And then finally, there was a law to ban wild animal killing contests that came up in the last session. That failed, and they weren't the only ones that were opposed to it, but they were among those.
Hmm. During the COVID-19 pandemic, they've been particularly vocal lobbyists against capacity limits in bars, which, as you mentioned, is part of what spurred this piece. Another thing that you put at really the top of your piece for Milwaukee Magazine was a body count of how many people have been dying from COVID-19, which we know is spreading groups. When we look at the lobbying efforts of the Tavern League, can we put a body count on the legislation that they've sought to disrupt?
I do not think that we can say so many people died because of the Tavern League. I don't know if that can be done. What I can say is that the Tavern League, in opposing that order, did not have public health top of mind. What they had in mind was protecting the, you know, rights of their businesses to do business. It's something that we've seen play out state after state, nationwide. You know, there is a balance between, especially as it drags on, especially as we're in, you know, enter year two of COVID. There is a bit of a fight over, you know, safety versus, you know, prosperity. A lot of these places weren't asking for these restrictions to be lift it because they wanted to, you know, be Scrooge McDuck and like rake in all this money. They were asking for the restrictions to be lifted because they were facing some serious financial issues. And, you know, some places have gone under. The Tavern League will tell you that they have advocated for reopening as responsible as possible. But they will also tell you that it's not their job to protect, you know, the health of all Wisconsinites. It's their job to advance the interests of all their members. And I think that's what we saw happen. I do not think we can put a body count on it, however.
It's interesting that they hold that position in part because legislators seem to be so close to them and checking with them on whether or not they should be passing this legislation. At some point, you do ask yourself as you're reading this piece, well, then whose job is it?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I do think it would fall to the public officials to, you know, protect public safety. And if they're not doing it, I don't know why I would expect a lobbying organization or anyone else outside of government to do it. But yeah, I mean, if you are a state legislator, you have a responsibility to solve these very, very tough issues, including, you know, how do you protect people and save lives while making sure that all these businesses don't go out of business or limit, you know, the economic impact of necessary public health measures?
It does seem as though legislators are reaching out to them as a way of, you know, okaying things with them.
I mean, this goes back to maybe your very first question, but the Tavern League is a lobbying organization, sure, but sometimes it's so powerful that sometimes it's even invited inside government to help them make decisions. You know, Pete Madlin has served on legislative study groups. He's on boards within the Department of Transportation, which take a look at drunk driving or impaired driving laws in the state.
Yeah. Well, Zach, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your work.
My pleasure.
Zach Brook is a writer whose piece on the Tavern League of Wisconsin was featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine.